Today I'm very excited. Patrick McAvenue of a wonderful new band, first I've heard of them, is a recording an album named after the band, Charm City Junction. They're based in Maryland. And I will say it's Irish traditional, but there's something different about them. They are just very precise, phenomenal musicians. Let's put it this way. This is not your down-at-the-corner pub Irish band. These guys are phenomenal musicians. They're excellent singers. They're all dedicated to really doing these older tunes in their own style, and they do it. And you're going to enjoy talking or listening to Patrick, rather. You don't get to talk to him, I do. Listening to Patrick, we'll go through the band, how they came together, and their new music, and what they're trying to do. And I think they do a very good job. You're going to be real impressed with them. All right. I'm very happy to have with me today from Charm City Junction, Patrick McAvenue. How you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Hey, no problem. I really enjoy this album, and I couldn't wait to get it and start playing it into the rotation. And then I thought, well, why not talk about it sometime? And Pat, you were the one that I knew, I guess, from Facebook right away. I think probably how I knew you right away. So.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Have we talked at IBMA?
You know what? Yes. I think that's accurate. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I worked with Audie Blaylock for a long time.
Okay, yeah.
The past 10 or 11 years I've been working with Audie.
Okay, yeah. I probably have seen you down there. Everybody comes from somewhere, I guess, is the best way to say
right.
it. So let's talk about Charm City Junk. You have the one, this is the only album that you have?
Yes, sir. Yeah, this is our debut record. It just came out on Patuxent Music. It's out of Rockville, Maryland. And I mean, it's a fun project.
It's a blast.
We got together probably about 2 years ago or something like that, and that's our first record.
You and introduce the other names on the album. Everybody's pretty versatile. First of all, you have tremendous musicianship. Now, there's a lot of Irish music that you can buy if people are out there listening. But if right. you really listen and break down what you guys are doing, your musicianship to me is what immediately was attractive to me. I mean, there's three vocals on it, nice vocals, nice harmonies and whatnot. But the musicianship of all the people you introduced me was really pretty grabbed me right away. But let's talk about who else is in the band. First of all, you play what? I know you sing, but what do you play?
Oh, I play fiddle. I was playing fiddle and mandolin on that record.
Okay.
So it's Brad Klodner on Klodner banjo, and he sang one on the record. Alex Lachimont on upright bass, and then Sean McComiskey on button accordion.
Okay. You guys just can't have any easy last names to pronounce, can you?
Nope. Yeah, that's why we're like pretty happy we found a good band.
I was going to say, you might as well. No, that would not. The show would be over. The show would be over before you all got out there. You have so many different influences that you pull from. The very first tune that I played on Unreal Bluegrass was the first cut on the thing, which is a Bill Monroe tune, Frog on a Lily Pad. Where do you guys get all of your influences? Where do you absorb this from? I assume different people, when I read the liner notes, different members of the band bring different tunes, and then you're not just reproducing them, but how do you all get together and gather these different, you have a Benny Martin tune, you have all kinds of resources that you pull into. Tell me a little bit about how you get that together.
All of us come from different traditions. So Brad Klodner is a Klodner banjo player, so he comes from the old-time tradition. His father has been a big influence on him. He kind of grew up with music in his household. He ended up playing the banjo starting out around age 17. I think he went up to a workshop that was hosted by Richie Stearns and was hooked onto old-time music. And he goes Cliff Top very early and has a great radio show on WANU where he hosts some bluegrass.
Sure.
And so he comes from that tradition. And Alex Lachimont, the upright bass player, grew up playing jazz and early jazz, like stuff from the 20s and 30s. And he also plays with a group called Bumper Jacksons. And they're an early jazz group that plays a lot of that and a lot of country music as well, early country music. So he comes from that tradition. And then we have Sean McComiskey, that comes from the Irish tradition. His father was Billy McComiskey, and Billy is a tremendous, one of the most feared button accordionists of Irish music. Like, I think people from Ireland usually come over and take lessons with Billy to learn more about Irish music.
Feared. I've never heard those terms in a sentence before. Feared button accordionist.
Right, exactly.
I like it.
He's amazing, and Sean came. He learned a lot from him, and he came into his own and has a really amazing versatility. You know, it's very versatile, and can play just about anything that you throw at him. And but he comes from that tradition, and then I grew up playing bluegrass. You know, my parents didn't play or anything like that, but I started playing fiddle at the age of 7 or 8 years old. I guess I was about 7. And took some lessons for a little while that were like classical influence, but then worked my way into old-time fiddle, bluegrass fiddle, and I really concentrated on bluegrass. I really loved bluegrass. And worked in bands. So that's where all of our influences kind of come from. And we all come together and play as if there are no boundaries between all our idioms or
good.
How
that,
we really communicate. We try to play really clearly and communicate our ideas in a very elegant way. And it's fun because it's, you know, like I can play the tune one way and then you would hear Sean play the exact same tune. It'll sound different, but still sound similar in a way. It's hard to explain, but we all come together and play this music and it turns out really, really good.
It does, and I like your description of it being clean. I will say that for pickers out there that want to hear some really just nice, clean, and I'll say precise, even though I know you're also improvising as you go through. And like you say, each one of you hear things differently, which is great. That means that you're interpreting things differently so that it all comes into the whole. But the playing is really, really, really nice on this. So I'm glad you used I'm glad you used the word clean, because that's something that I wouldn't have thought of. That's a real good description of how you perform it and how you play it. And I bet you live audiences absolutely love you guys.
Yeah, we've had a really, really great reception. We did a couple of IDMA showcases, and they're really well attended. Ended up getting some work out of it, some gigs. I think we're going to be playing at the Delaware Valley Bluegrass Festival next year, along with the Dickinson College Festival that happens up there. It's called Bluegrass on the Grass. And then we've got a couple other festivals that we're trying to line up right now. And so it's been really well received. We just finished playing at the Kennedy Center back in November.
Nice.
And it's been a great ride.
And you guys are having
fun.
We're
just getting started.
You guys are having fun. I can tell from the way you're describing this, you're having a good time doing this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, I love playing with these guys. Yeah. These guys, they play extremely well, and we're all really close friends outside of the music. I live with Brad, and I live with Alex. We all live in a house together.
Mm-hmm.
Sean is almost like our roommate, but he's working on his degree in physical therapy. So he's working on his doctorate. So we all have a bit of a time constraint on how much we can really perform together, but when we do get together, it's awesome. And so much fun, and so exploratory, and it's really artistically satisfying.
I would think so. I think even the most casual listener to this program, certainly, I think I have a pretty hip audience, but I think they would all get the immediate connection between the Irish sounds and what we might describe as bluegrass at any level. But
right.
So you guys go right to Bill Monroe, but I don't want to just limit it to that. I don't want people to think that it's just that sort of a reproduction of those tunes that may have inspired or been translated into a different thing. You really do put your own thing into this. You describe in detail each one of you. I think, am I correct, as I go through the liner notes on each song, the person writing the liner notes describing how the song gets to the band, is that the person that probably brought the tune to the band?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's, in most of the cases, we kind of tried to divvy it, even if you didn't bring the tune, we had everybody write something about it, something that was that they thought was interesting about the tune. But yeah, most of the liner notes are made up of that, made up of how the tune was brought in and how we interpreted it, and how we kind of came up with our arrangement about it. We try to keep everything more or less straightforward, but really try and engage the listener and do it in a very eloquent way, as eloquent as we can be.
Well, you do, and let's get this up front, too, at least for this album, and I don't know what an entire show might involve, but for this album, I would describe, there's a couple of waltzes on it which are absolutely gorgeous, but for the most part, this is music that's going to make people at least pat their feet.
Right. We love playing music that makes people move, people dance, groove along, get them excited and get them into the community that is really, Baltimore is a pretty interesting spot because in our communities, they are very tight-knit, and they're in their own separate little circles, but when they converge, it's awesome. It's a party. And that's kind of what happened with us. We got together. I first met Sean at an Irish session that I was going to with a friend of mine. And he came back to my house, and we played some tunes. And he goes, "Hey, do you know Brad Klotner?" I'd heard of Klotner name, heard of Ken, and I didn't even really know he had a son. And so I ended up meeting Brad, and Brad came over and said, "Sean, we should have played some tunes." And then Brad goes, "Well, you know what? I know a bass player who's a really, really good friend of mine, and he is living down in Fairfax County and is working in the public school system teaching music. And I said, I'm going to invite him up." And Alex came up to the house, and for like 3 or 4 months, every Tuesday night, we would get together and play tunes and have a good time. And then Alex was kind of the one that said, "Hey, why don't we do something with this? This is really good music, and it's a lot of fun. Let's book some shows, let's play some shows." And then it went from there.
What are the ages of the band members, a range?
Oh, we're all in our late 20s, mid to late 20s, and I think Sean is like 31 this year.
Okay. There's definitely a lot of energy to the band. If I had to describe this, and again, not the playing, because I don't want to mislead people, but as far as the energy level, for some reason, as I'm driving around listening to this, I think of, I guess, the third class passengers in the Titanic when they're in the basement and they're in the lower part of the boat having a great time dancing around, but you guys are not playing like that loose, and that you're very precise. But I mean, that's what I think of when I hear most of the songs on, most of the tunes on here, is that kind of feel that's exactly what you're looking for.
Oh, we're right on. Thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate that. Tremendous compliment.
Yeah, you mentioned Alex, and we were talking off the air before we started about the greasy coat, the intro to that. Now, you've explained that by describing what Alex brings to the band, but as I listen through here, I hear different things that really pull me out. The vocals, I think, on the three, I have three vocals, right? Train on the Island, I've Got a Woman,
right.
And I'm Troubled. And those are the three vocals, if I'm correct, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Real nice harmonies. Do you guys sing a lot when you're performing live? Or, I mean, you have three out of 14 tunes.
Yeah, when we perform live, we do a couple more songs. But especially on our first record, we really wanted to showcase our playing, showcase our arranging capabilities, and do that. I think our next record probably will include more vocal songs, and we're going to keep doing what we're doing, and just keep honing in our sound and figuring out exactly what we want to say with our music. And I love singing with those guys. It's very easy to do because we're all from this general area, so we all speak similarly.
Well,
and that definitely helps when it comes to singing harmony together.
Yeah, the and Greasy Coat, just as I mentioned, explain a little bit about the intro to that, that if anyone listens
to
this. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the Greasy Coat, that was funny. That we got together and we wanted to feature Alex. And we couldn't really think of a way than to have him kind of play solo, because he's so talented and he can play just about anything that you throw at him, he can play it. And he is very humble and very modest. So he doesn't like to just haul off and take big solos or during the middle of any tunes. And we were sitting there, we were playing Greasy Coat. And I don't know who suggested it, but I had learned a ham bone move from one of my students that I was teaching down at Mike's Music in Ellicott City. And so she taught me this ham bone move, so I was sitting there doing that. And then Brad started doing something, and then so did Sean. So we're doing that. So we're all doing this hand percussion thing, and Alex just starts playing. And I was like, "Whoa, it would be really, really cool if you introduced the Greasy Coat tune with a solo bass entrance, and then it'll feature your abilities and feature your chops." And we were all like, "That would be awesome." So that's how that came about, I think.
It's very
it's a fun way of just getting the toss.
It is. It's a great thing, and you know, you got to feature the bass player every once in a while.
Right, exactly.
And I love it. Just sort of, it's like this swing sound, this kind of this groove type starts coming off of the record, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, what happened to Joe Bain's Barn Dance and all this other, and then you get back around to it. But that just tickled me, and I thought, well, I bet that'd be a fun one to explain about how you got into doing that. I like all the selections. You guys, you have such a good, then the very last one, my favorite, one of my all-time favorite old-time players is Reed Martin. I just think he's the best walking around. I mean, and there's a lot of people on record and whatnot, but if you compare them, not that you have to find the best, but I think Reed Martin, and you mentioned Reed Martin in the last tune, The New River Train, is a version
right.
that he did. Do you guys play with Reed, or do you see him much? Or?
Well, from time to time, I'll see him. He lives right in Cabin John, Maryland, down in D.C., just outside of D.C., and, I'll see him every once in a while. I was first exposed to his music by a friend of mine, Russ Carson, playing banjo for Ricky Skaggs, and he used to play with Audie Boylock and Redline, and when we were driving around in the car, we listened to Reed Martin, listened to that solo banjo record that he put out.
Mm-hmm.
I think he sat in his living room and recorded 33 tunes or something like that, and that record is awesome. It has such really amazing killer tunes, and then Russ ended up recording that version of New River Train, and he and I did it as a band and fiddle duet. And I grabbed that from that version. I started playing it while we were hanging out at one of our Charm City Junction rehearsals, and everybody was like, "Well, we need to do that. We need to play that tune." And we started playing it, and they kind of, Charm City Junction-ified it.
Yeah. I'm glad that you mentioned it that way, because I really do think, and I want to stress to people listening, and if they go see or pick up the album, there are a lot of recorded, we'll say Irish based or traditional type songs that are pretty much this is what it was when it was done back whenever, and you guys really do reinterpret all these things in a great way that I think is really identifiable with the Charm City Junction sound.
Oh, thank you. No, that's a tremendous compliment, because we are. That's what we're trying to just play the way that we would play, and just communicate with each other, regardless of our stylistic boundary or the genre boundaries that may be established, you know. But we just try to put a lot of thought and put a lot of creative energy in whatever we do, and really just play it with all of our conviction. And I think it really comes through to the audience, especially in our live shows and We tried to capture that as best as we could on our record.
Well, it leaps off the record, I think. I'll just tell you that. I think everything that you've described just then in that sentence leaps off the record as to what Charm City Junction is trying to do. And when people get the album or hear you, they can... When you introduce a song, do you tell them... when you're live, do you say this is a tune we learned from, or this is an old thing, or do you do any of that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a big. We love doing that. We love talking about how we got the tunes, how we found them, and we talk about what our artistic process is. So that's one thing too about this group, is that it's a true collaboration. Everybody talks on stage. Everybody gets up, gets moving. I think Sean usually gets the crowd huffing. Yeah, whenever it's like to get the band riled up. In Irish music, a lot of musicians will hump, and he hups during the show, and then he gets the crowd to do it, and it's funny. Oh my gosh, you see all these people just get light up, and it's a lot of fun. It's a really really fun group.
I think we want to stress in this conversation, it's a lot of fun, there's a lot of upbeat stuff, but we don't want to get too far from the fact that the playing on this is just stellar. I mean, all you guys are so good together. I'm so glad you found each other and approach it this way, because, yes, it's great. Yes, you might want to dance. The waltzes on this, Margaret's Waltz and then Return from Helsinki, they're just gorgeous tunes to maybe relax on, but the playing itself is just top notch. There's nothing wrong with any part of what you guys are playing instrumentally, and then the singing is good.
Right.
I like that, but man, I love the playing. If you weren't playing that well, I wouldn't be that excited about the fact that you have a lot of energy.
Oh, right on! Thank you.
Yeah, it's really good. It's great. I just enjoy it so much, and I hope you're having fun with this. What you have a website? I'm certain that you do. I know I've been there before.
Yeah, you can find us at charmcityjunction.com.
Easy.
And we're named after our beloved Baltimore, Maryland. And you can find us there. We've got tour schedule posted there.
Good.
You can find our CD on there and find any information that you'd like to find out about the group.
Good. Oh, this is good. This is very enjoyable music. I appreciate the fact of everything you took into it and brought and made it your own. I think anybody that hears it or sees you live is going to come away with a new appreciation of some of these older tunes, maybe where they came from. But I hope that they will recognize a little bit of the transformation that's occurred coming through, you know, the vessel that is Charm City Junction. In other words, it comes in, but it percolates out a little bit differently and better. And it's very exciting. I'm real happy for you guys.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Steve. Thank you very much for having me.
No problem. Anytime. Listen, Patrick, we'll catch up to you down the road somewhere and wish you all the best of luck. Thanks so much for coming on Unreal Bluegrass.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much to Charm City Junction and Patrick McAvenue for participating in the show and playing such great music for us.